This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Well, good morning. Welcome to the not yet award-winning Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. It is Tuesday, the 14th day of May, 2024. We've got a lot of headlines to talk about today, so let's get right to them, shall we? The West will soon pay for Biden's betrayal. This from the UK Telegraph over there in England. John Bolton writes, "Our global adversaries, China, Russia, Iran, and its proxies, must be marveling at their good fortune as President Joe Biden effectively endorses a terrorist veto over Israel's right to self-defense. President Biden's unprecedented open threat to withhold arms deliveries to Israel if they go into Rafah, and a State Department public report on Israeli conduct in the war are self-inflicted wounds to a vital alliance. Israel has not yet publicly responded, but it faces critical choices over whether to proceed militarily in Rafah or to simply back down. Neither option is attractive given the potential consequences." The article goes on to say that Biden's stubbornness is wrong on many levels. Close allies should always engage privately during wartime. Leaks will undoubtedly occur, sometimes intentionally, but preserving even minimal confidentiality is essential to later repairing damage done both at governmental and personal levels. Piling on publicly in the middle of a war is imprudent and juvenile on the part of Joe Biden, and damages the respect and trust that allies need to sustain during times of crisis and tension. The propaganda opportunities handed to hostile powers are immeasurable. And if Biden is prepared to cut loose one of America's most valued partners, like Israel, just over people protesting at a college, how quickly would he run old England under the bus? Or France? If Biden is prepared to cut loose one of America's most valued partners, what does that foretell for those more distant, less favored than Israel? How do you think Ukraine or Taiwan must feel? Or South Korea or Vietnam? Biden's motives are not so high-minded as he might have you believe. This is no profile in courage. Domestically, Biden is faring poorly in polls against Donald Trump, and defections to minor party candidates could sink his re-election chances. In swing state primaries states like Michigan, large numbers of Democrats recently voted uncommitted, posing significant risks if they decide again to stay home this November. The White House own staff have flagged themselves to regain key Democratic blocks, but have so far failed. Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, the fake Indian princess, asserting that Israel might be liable for genocide in Gaza, exemplifies the problem. Ironically, while politics dominates Biden's calculations, it may backfire. Republicans are uniformly rejecting his approach, as did significant numbers in his own Democratic Party. Biden's threats reflect weakness, showing he is indeed a weak, feeble, frail, fragile old man. Coming just weeks after a frantic set of efforts to pressure Israel, "Please don't retaliate strongly after Iran missile and drone attacks," the president's supporters invoke Ronald Reagan's withholding weapons when Israel struck Palestinians in Lebanon. But the two scenarios are distinct completely. The U.S.-Israel relations at the time was moral and historical, not strategic, as it is today. Reagan later forged the Washington-Jerusalem strategic ties that existed up until Biden took office. Biden repeatedly pledged ironclad support for Israel after October 7th, but now he has swerved dramatically from that position. Most importantly, the substance of Biden's veiled threats and the thoroughly unsatisfactory State Department report exposed the Biden administration as both misguided and confused in ways that could haunt future presidents. Close quarters combat in complex urban environments, like Hamas's extraordinary network of underground tunnels in highly populated cities, is something that Western militaries have preferred to avoid. Not surprisingly, the U.S. report is incoherent and contradictory under Joe Biden, doubtless reflecting anti-Israel sentiment in many department bureaus and, of course, schizophrenia within the Biden administration's political ranks. That report lacks specificity, yet incomplete information is hard to assess without adequate context, which is why a fair and accurate reckoning would be most fruitful after the war. not while combat still rages. The fact that civilians might be present in combat areas requires that Israel, or any combatant for that matter, determine that they are trying to strike only military targets and that civilian casualties are no more than proportional to the importance of the targets at hand. And if the cowardly Hamas terrorists are using human shields to protect them so that they can continue attacking Israel, then so be it. Some civilians will die. In Rafah, the IDF is seeking to eliminate highest command of Hamas in their command and control hierarchies, their remaining organized military units, and those are legitimate objectives. Again, if they're using human shields to protect their highest ranking people and those human shields accidentally die, you can't blame Israel. You have to blame the Hamas terrorists in Palestine for placing innocent people right in front of their highest command and control officials. It may be unacceptable that Israel is prevented from achieving legitimate self-defense goals because these terrorists are so barbaric as to sacrifice civilian populations in order to save themselves. And if that is what Biden means by saying he objects to Israel entering Rafah, he is simply endorsing terrorism in that country. Hamas is the one morally culpable for Gaza civilian deaths. It's not Israel. We do not know what will unfold next, but the decisive choice now lies with Israel's war cabinet. Biden's ill-considered threat to cut the Jewish state loose would be at the center of a considerable debate. There is no debate, however, that Biden's ploy will most certainly come back to haunt the United States of America and all of its current allies. It's a very well-written piece, actually. And I will say this. If Biden is going to sacrifice Israel because some people are protesting at Columbia University, then we need to get rid of Biden today. Israel is our most important ally in the desert over there in the Middle East. And if Biden continues to fail them, maybe Israel will abandon the United States and no longer offer us a place to land with our military. Think about it. All right, switching gears, a whole bunch of stuff on the California fast food minimum wage hike. Carver Maloney writes in the History Daily publication, "Fast food fallout. California's minimum wage hike for the food industry intensifies college food insecurity." Wait a minute. I don't understand. Research on food insecurity amongst college students in the state of California reveals rates ranging from a quarter to over half across different institutions. The data shows that 84% of college students consume fast food, with 54% saying they do it at least once per week. The primary reasons for opting for fast food were affordability and taste, while costliness and preferences for other dining options used to deter students from choosing fast food. This is not a very well-written article. 42% of University of California students rely on Pell Grants, the federal financial aid program designed for families with low incomes. And this highlights the vulnerability of economically disadvantaged students in assessing and accessing affordable meals. So they go down to the fast food joints. But the combination of Joe Biden's inflation and the requirement that fast food employees now get a minimum wage of $20 an hour is pricing many college students out of the ability to buy a Big Mac. And it is also the reason why many people are protesting in those California colleges. Let's see. Michael Bordenaro has an article. "Fast food workers are now some of the highest paid people in the United States of America. After the new minimum wage in California went into effect for California's fast food workers, MarketWatch says those fast food workers are now amongst the highest paid people in the country. When you look at the cost of living in California, these people clearly do need to make more money," it says, "but it's still not enough for them to afford housing. The problem is the minimum wage increase is already having a negative effect on the economy and will likely continue down the road." Another article in the Daily Reel, "Celebrity chef predicts California minimum wage law will create a nationwide problem." The unnamed celebrity chef says that the restaurant industry may have to follow suit in other states, especially those like New York that have higher costs of housing, and this is going to drive minimum wage prices up for fast food workers and others now demanding the same wage even though they're not in the same industry. All right, let's move along and see what the next article says. Customers are condemning the new Subway sandwich $21 price amidst the California minimum wage hike. There are around 200,000 fast food restaurants in the United States, according to this article. I think it's more. For decades, Americans have preferred these places for good, quick, inexpensive selections, but that is all changing, especially in California. Fast food prices, particularly those at Subway, have risen dramatically over the years. However, with California's new minimum wage law, costs have skyrocketed. Many Americans have decided that those businesses are no longer worth it. Stop! Before I go into this article any further, I thought California had an exemption for stores that made their own bread. I've seen Subway. They bake their own bread right there in the store. So why are they subjected to the minimum wage law? Or are they? Are they simply just raising their prices because everyone else is doing so? In 2008, Subway had launched the $5 footlong. Remember that? Customers could buy a 12-inch sub of their choosing for $5 at just about every Subway outlet across the country, except those in airports and amusement parks. In fact, locations reported sales increasing ranging from 30 to 50% at that time as a result of the $5 footlong, which stopped 10 years later in 2019. Now a Subway sandwich costs as much as $10.49, with some specialty sandwiches costing each customer considerably more. One woman 6 months ago on Reddit posted the Subway sandwich for $21. Hundreds of users responded to the article. Most of them were horrified at the cost of a fast food sandwich. Several people speculated that they probably chose a restaurant specialty build your own sandwich, with the average running somewhere around 12. The overall view at the time was, regardless how special a sandwich is, a fast food meal sandwich for one person should never cost more than $20. Subway is undoubtedly in hot water, and it's not the only fast food restaurant generating headlines for massive price increases. McDonald's has hiked prices. Big Mac meals can cost as much as $18. People are furious that a bacon cheeseburger meal at Five Guys is now $24. Chipotle has revealed several of their burrito bowls will now be more than $12. People are furious. People are leaving fast food restaurants like crazy. Nothing influences the cost of a fast food meal more than the cost of the preparers. And in California, with the minimum wage hiked all the way to $20 an hour, it's no doubt those restaurants have to raise prices in order to pay their employees. But Joe Biden's inflation, now over 20% since he took office, the cumulative effect of Joe Biden's inflation, the cumulative effect of Bidenomics, now over $20 average inflation. The cost of groceries up 38%. The cost of fast food meals now approaching 49% increases since Joe Biden put his feeble fingers on the Bible and lied to you. Many people argue that California Governor Gavin Newsom is directly responsible for the higher prices after raising 25% the average minimum wage for a fast food worker. It's bad enough that the minimum wage for fast food workers was $16 an hour. How can you carve out just one industry and give them more money? That's what I want to know. Meanwhile, the Irish Star's Alana Loftus writes, McDonald's launches a $5 meal deal as inflation deters consumers. Many, many fewer people entering the Golden Arches now, so McDonald's is set to release a new $5 meal deal. Let me guess, the tiniest, smallest drink, a little tiny order of fries, and a plain cheeseburger, perhaps? Or a reduced size piece of chicken between two pieces of bread for $5? Remember the dollar menu? Yeah, you can forget that. That's long gone, my friends. Meanwhile, in California again, a secret 50 cent per gallon gas tax hike is coming in the next 2 years, as Californians are currently dealing with $7.50 per gallon plus average gasoline prices. The long-standing emissions reduction program will lead to a 50-cent per gallon increase within the next 2 years. A little-known state air quality regulator report says that the California Air Resources Board, or CARB, the state's primary environmental regulator, reported that gas prices will rise by 50 cents per gallon next year, and every year thereafter to aid in clean air efforts. But I thought California was running all these electric cars. How is the air not cleaner? How come it just hasn't become instantly clean? We're running electric cars after all. Republican State Senator Janet Nguyen, a Vietnamese American, one of the legislature's most critical tax hawks, said that the secret tax increase will penalize the majority of Californians and, of course, will affect the lower-income people even more because they, the lower-income people, can't afford expensive electric cars. Nguyen says, the middle class, the low income, they can't afford to go, they get the gas to go to school, to the work, or to the grocery, or to the doctor office. No one know about this. I think the people just think it's a tax, so they don't know the difference between the carbon tax versus the state tax. It's almost like a tax on a tax. Sorry, couldn't resist. The report foresees gasoline prices increasing due to the low carbon fuel standard reforms that were created in 2007. Next year, 47 cents per gallon increase, 52 cents per gallon in 2026, and diesel prices even higher. A 59 cent per gallon penalty for driving a diesel and a 66 cents per gallon penalty in the next 2 years. Long-term projections suggest that gasoline prices could surge by another $1.15 next year and $1.50 per gallon for diesel. Jet fuel will increase by $1.21 per gallon, and we know jets burn a whole lot of fuel. California is phasing out new gas-powered cars and mandating 100% electric vehicle sales by 2035, and nearly 20 other states have adopted similar rules, meaning that 40% of the country will be mandated to have only electric cars by 2035. Think about this, my friends. That's just 11 short years from now. The state's effort to electrify the transportation sector is a joke, and it is not working, period. This is the Truth Hurts program. Uh-oh, wait a minute. To mandate electric vehicles is their goal, but according to Bloomberg's Josh Wingrove, Biden will be hiking tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles. What? We want people to buy electric cars, but now we're going to slap hefty tariffs on the electric cars that come in from China. Joe Biden will quadruple tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles and will sharply increase levies for other key industries this week, unveiling measures at a White House event framed as Defense for American Workers. These people are doing every single thing wrong. Every single thing wrong. They mandate electric cars, but American car companies cannot produce a quality electric car at an affordable price. So China comes in and says, hey, we can do it. We can provide you with a very affordable, very high quality car that meets all of your electric vehicle goals. And then Biden says, I'm going to tax the living shit out of them so that you can't afford them. And then people will be stuck buying garbage from America. Tesla, Rivian, and all of those other companies that are failing and going belly up and begging Biden for bailouts. The presidential race is the reason for this announcement. Biden is trying to crack down on China and trying to differentiate himself from Trump. But that's a lie, because the tariffs that Biden is trying to put in place and quadruple are the original tariffs that came from the Trump administration when he was trying to, you know, make America great again by promoting industries to be grown here in the United States of America. Remember, it was Donald Trump who said, we have to stop importing things from China, including the Fauci-inspired Fauci flu virus. It's funny. Now Biden jumps out there and makes these statements, but all he's doing is echoing what Donald Trump said when he ran the first time. They're also going to put heavy tariffs and fees on solar panels, which are made where? Oh, that's right. China. This Biden administration is one blunder after another. And just like that, when I'm trying to segue to two other articles, can't reach this page. Looks like the webpage at blah, blah, blah has no longer been made available. It may have been deleted, having issues, or moved permanently to a different web address. The actual headline read, Rivian Automotive recently declared layoffs for hundreds of employees across their California locations. That was written by Prashant Chaudhary, in the publication Gadget Insiders. Ah, I found it on another site. Electric automaker Rivian Automotive announced another wave of layoffs, 1% of its workforce being sent down the street, out the door, to the unemployment office in California. And this decision follows a round that affected 10% of salaried employees back in February of this year. Senior corporate communications manager Kelly Felker announced the challenge, emphasizing the necessity of these layoffs to align with the company's goal to become gross margin positive by the end of the year. They're losing money every day. I'm telling you, my friends, it's just an absolute nightmare. Chaos in California. Gavin Newsom is now dealing with minimum wage law fallout, Andy Sanders writes in the State of the Union publication. And I'm going to just bypass it. We've already discussed that horse until it's fallen on its face. Let's see what else we have in the news today. Uh-oh, Joe Biden out there telling everyone that the Israel people have been killing all these innocent women and children in Gaza. All of these innocent Palestinian women and children. Joey Garrison writes in the USA Today, United Nations cuts their estimates of women and children deaths in Gaza war in half. In half. So now the UN reduced estimates for the number of women and children killed during Israel's war with Hamas in Gaza by half, inviting new scrutiny for figures that come from the militant group Hamas. Well, just like I told you, Hamas was lying about the number of people killed. You didn't believe me. Oh, no, no. Must be a conspiracy there, Steve Z. Of the 34,735 people who have supposedly died in the Gaza Strip, in the Palestinian non-state, those trespassing homesteaders since the war began, according to data published on May the 6th by the United Nations, more than 9,500 were allegedly women, and more than 14,000 were allegedly children. But in updated data, published just 2 days later on May 8th, the UN significantly reduced those figures to 4,959 women, many of whom are in their military, and 7,797 children among the 34,844 total people killed in Gaza. So, let's do a little Truth Hurts program math real quickly here, shall we? And we will subtract out the actual numbers that the UN is reporting, and we say that of the nearly 35,000 people killed, 22,088 of them were military terrorists. The UN cities data from the Gaza Ministry of Health, controlled by Hamas, produces those fake figures. The UN reports come with a disclaimer that says, quote, the UN has so far not been able to produce independent, comprehensive, verified casualty figures, unquote. You see, all of these idiots protesting all of these supposed innocent deaths of women and children in Gaza by Israel, they're not based on any real numbers. No facts, no statistics, no data. But what do you expect from minds filled with Play-Doh, indoctrinated by left-wing radical extremists, supporters of terrorists, and haters of the Jews? Oh well, it is what it is, my friends. One more article. Larry Kudlow on the Fox Business Channel says inflation is tightening its grip in Biden's re-election. Truer words could never have been spoken. If you will indulge me, I'm going to play just about a minute of the Kudlow report because it's very on point.
Bad news, Biden. It's been a rough week for the president. My hunch is he can look forward to even rougher weeks in the months ahead. His decision to embargo arms to Israel is incredibly unpopular. That is, outside the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party. Almost 80% of Americans want Israel to destroy Hamas as fast as possible. Another untruth on the economy is he claimed he inherited a 9% inflation rate. Well, actually, Donald Trump handed him a 1.4% inflation rate, and Joe Biden drove it to 9%. Actually, prices have jumped over 20% under Biden, including nearly 40% jump in gasoline and a 24% rise in groceries. So working folks, no matter what color, race, or creed, are suffering a 4% decline in their real take-home pay. By the way, consumer confidence has plunged to 67 on the Michigan Sentiment Index. Now, during the Trump years, sentiment was hovering around 100. Plus, inflation expectations in that survey are now the highest in 6 months. Inflation now picking up speed once again in the new year, running at a near 5% annualized clip. And Gen Zers are going deeper and deeper into debt.
Now, he said absolutely everything 100% accurately. So I'm going to continue with Mr. Kudlow for just a little bit longer. Please indulge as he tells you the truth.
And while inflation tightens its grip on Biden's reelection, he thinks he's FDR, trying to spend about $1.5 trillion in the next 6 months to buy votes and juice the economy. Well, first of all, nobody could spend $1.5 trillion in 6 months. Nobody. But if they ever did, the inflation rate would probably jump to 10%. Meanwhile, this is not the 1930s. Joe Biden's economic ratings are running 20 points behind Trump. And working folks don't want elite student loan cancellations or climate EV spending binges that will do nothing more than damage their consumer choice and create unaffordable price increases. Even more, Biden's lawfare campaign to tie Trump up in jail so he can't campaign is blowing up in Biden's face. The New York trial is a fiasco. The Washington trial is tied up in the Supreme Court on immunity. The Florida classified documents trial is permanently on hold. And the Fannie Willis shenanigans in Atlanta are now stuck in the Georgia appeals court. And a majority of voters now believe that this whole lawfare jihad against former President Trump was totally politically motivated.
It was totally politically motivated. All right, gang, it looks like we've run up against the clock on this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go out there and have a wonderful Tuesday, and we will... What? I'm not supposed to say that? Not supposed to tell people what kind of day they're supposed to have? Go out there and make it a terrific Tuesday, and we'll see you on the next edition of the Truth Hurts program. Bye-bye for now.
Empty wallets. Savings accounts drained. Checking accounts sucked dry. Credit card debt rising through the roof. Checks bouncing. Late car payments. Delinquent rent. Less money at the end of each week despite you working harder and harder than ever. Grocery prices over 40% higher in 3 years. Gasoline prices doubled. Overall inflation making the average of everything more than 20% higher than the day the last president left office. A current president lying, telling you that he inherited 9% inflation when the truth is the current president walked into office with only 1.4% inflation. Illegal immigration of more than 10 million that were simply caught and released into the country, while as many as 15 times that number simply got away, never encountered by border police at all. Crime waves across many cities where criminals are coddled, victims are vilified and blamed for simply being victims, where good cops are under fire and bad cops are getting away with murder. Illegal drugs on the streets paid for by the current government, who allows them to walk right in across an open border. Actual war being raised in multiple nations where we had none just 3 years prior. Multi-trillion dollar spending packages with names that have nothing to do with where the money is being wasted. A double standard that favors the current president getting away with the same things they falsely blame on the previous president. A third world banana republic where kangaroo courts and false accusations tie up political opponents and try to sway an election. A mainstream media out of control, lying to support the failed current president and doing everything they can to demonize the previous one. Women pretending to be men. Men getting off watching little girls in women's bathrooms as they pretend to be women. Babies murdered by the millions, paid for by the taxpayers. This all sounds like a really, really bad movie plot in some third world hellhole. But sadly, it's happening right here, right now, in the USA. Do your part. Call your representatives in Congress and demand an end to all of Biden's policies. This message paid for by no one, because no one would have the balls to put their name on such a truth-telling statement.
Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.